of the Scripture Union prayer in the first person singular. O Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And do thou touch my lips, Lord Jesus, that I may speak as thou wouldst have me speak, for thy name's sake. Amen. I'm going to read from J.B. Phillips' version. There's a Nelson School edition of this available now at 8 and 6. The whole of the New Testament in J.B. Phillips. It's on the bookstalls, very good value. Romans chapter 12. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him, and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. As your spiritual teacher, I give this piece of advice to each one of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your own importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their functions, so we, though many in number, comprise one body in Christ, and are all members one of another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on our service. If it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. And if our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who is called to give freely. Let the man who wields authority think of his responsibility. And let the sick visitor do his job cheerfully. Are you getting better? Let us have no imitation of Christian love. Let us have a genuine break with evil and a real devotion to good. Let us have real warm affection for one another as between brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, and let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. Base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly, maintain the habit of prayer. Give freely to fellow Christians in want, never grudging a meal or a bed to those who need them. And as for those who try to make your life a misery, bless them. Don't curse, bless. Share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those who are sad. Live in harmony with each other. Don't become snobbish, but take a real interest in ordinary people. Don't become set in your own opinions. Don't pay back a bad turn by a bad turn to anyone. Don't say it doesn't matter what people think, but see your public behavior is above criticism. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. Never take vengeance into your own hands. My dear friends, stand back and let God punish if he will. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And these are God's words. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Don't allow yourself to be overpowered by evil. Take the offensive. Overpower evil by good. Can you afford 8 and 6? Some of you, I think, will be thinking it's worth it. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to expound from J.B. Phillips. I'm going to expound from the Authorized Version. The Yesterday morning we were thinking together of the New Testament doctrine of sanctification. There were those who sought counsel. There were those who went off and in the quietness of their own private place asked God to meet with them, to do a new thing in their hearts, to take them utterly and entirely and set them apart for himself, to make them more like the Lord Jesus. We needed the word of yesterday and the word of the day before, and today we come to consider the New Testament doctrine of full surrender. At conversion, or new birth, I receive a whole Christ. In full surrender, that whole Christ receives a whole me. Romans 12 is one of the great golden passages in the Word of God on this subject. And we're going to consider verse 1 to start with, where we are confronted with the ground of the apostle's beseeching. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? That a Savior has come into this world and died for sinners, that forgiveness is available for the foulest and cleansing for the most defiled, that there is victory for those who are defeated, that sin need no longer have dominion over us. It may remain indwelling, but it need not remain enthroned. Christ enthroned is the answer to enthroned sin. And when the Lord Jesus Christ has all that there is of me, sin no longer has dominion over me. The mercies of God, pardon for me, cleansing for me, deliverance for me, victory in Christ for me. But none of these things are commodities for us to walk away from. These things are the outworking of a relationship with our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness without Christ. There is no deliverance without Christ. There is no victory without Christ. The victorious Christian life is not me with a lot of pepping up. It is not me with a lot of spiritual aids. The victorious Christian life is the Lord Jesus Christ living his life unhinderedly through me. I have been crucified with Christ, says Paul in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. His faithfulness to me, his faithfulness in me, as well as my faith in him. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The mercies of God. The heart is moved by the cross. Love is drawn out to the one who suffered there upon that cross. The will is challenged by his becoming obedient unto the death of the cross. And the life is demanded by him who gave his life for us. Listen, he gave absolutely everything for you, that you might be freely forgiven. But it is required of him who is freely forgiven that he shall give absolutely everything in response to the one who gave all for us. Giving all doesn't save me. The blood of Jesus Christ alone can save. But he who is saved must give all in response to such amazing love. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, what Paul is suggesting, he knows to be acceptable to God. This is what God wants. Did you come to Keswick wanting to know what God wanted? Well, here is something that God wants. Your body is acceptable to God. A reasonable sacrifice, acceptable to God. What he suggests is reasonable service, reasonable religious service, not blind, unreasoning ritualism, not blind, unreasoning submission as an ox or a goat or a bullock on some Jewish altar, but reasonable service, the intelligent response of an informed mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, brethren, you Christians, you Christian young men and women, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, you say, I gave him everything when I was converted. I wonder. That's how I thought for 5 years. And then in the middle of my university course, I saw that I really hadn't given him everything. What I gave him was what I didn't want. What I particularly wanted, I'd still hung on to. Talking to somebody yesterday, I said, did you give your body to the Lord Jesus? He thought for a moment, and he said, no, I don't think I did. And I expect there are many of you in the tent this morning in exactly the same boat. You thought in terms of giving the Lord all to Jesus I surrender. But to be specific, you haven't been specific. You haven't given him your body. You've never surrendered these hands, these eyes, these ears. You've never said, these are yours, they're not to listen to smut. These are yours, they're not to look on impurity. These are yours, they're not to commit foul deeds. They're not to write snooty letters. These are yours. You've never given him your body, the members of your body. Your body is the outer case of your mind. The chances are you've never given him your mind either. Your intellect you look upon as an independent authority, not be nationalized. An independent authority. And there it is. You can do what you like with your mind. You can reason as you will. Talking to somebody yesterday, the Bible was one authority, reason was another. Don't worry, I won't tell everybody everything that everybody has said to me. But these are relevant samples of what is true of hundreds of young Christians. What was reasonable to her, she accepted out of the Bible. What was not reasonable, she left in suspense. She didn't want to reject the Bible outright, but she left it in suspense. Reason really was her final authority. And when reason is your final authority, and you call yourself a Christian, and your name is Jones, you're not really a Christian, you're a Jonesian, because you revolve around yourself, not around your Saviour, who's given us an infallible record of what he wants us to know, absolutely adequate for all life's pilgrimage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you men and women, that you present your bodies, the outer casing of your mind, the members of your body, and the inward, inside the inner casing, the mind itself, your bodies, a living sacrifice. God doesn't want the fag end of your life. You know how you felt when you've seen a poor chap with tattered clothes going into a gutter and picking up a fag end. As you've gone by, you thought, poor chap, poor chap. Why should you dare to suggest that when you get older, you might make a full surrender of your life? That's like offering God the fag end. God is entitled to all the fragrance of your youth, to all the freshness of your unspoiled character. And don't you argue that you've got to taste the world, the flesh and the devil before you know what it's all like. Be a Christian, not an existentialist. Be a Christian. Let the Lord have you. And don't you argue that if only you'd been delivered from a lot of foul and shocking things, you'd have a wonderful testimony to give. Perhaps you'd better go and indulge in those things so that the Lord can deliver you from those things, and then you'll have a wonderful testimony. Utter nonsense. It takes every bit as much of the grace of God to keep a fellow out of the gutter as it does to bring him out of the gutter. My friend, it's the Saviour you have to commend in your testimony, not yourself. And when you get up to witness, people don't want your autobiography, not even the funniest bits in it. What they want is what the Lord Jesus means to you and has done for you. Don't you ever lament that you were born in a Christian home and that you've never been up against it as some people have. Thank God for the fragrance of your home. And rejoice in all the protecting power of the Saviour that you've experienced. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. The motto of the Moravian missionaries shows an altar and an ox standing by it. And underneath it says, Paratum ad altrem, ready for either. There is a yoke, you see, as well as an altar. The yoke is the other side of the ox, ready for either. A living sacrifice. ready for an early death if the Lord calls upon me for that. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Ready for a long life of service if the Lord calls me for that. Your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. What is the goal of this beseeching that you present? And what is behind this word present? Well, just yield, that's all. Hand over, let go, let God have his way, that you present. And the interesting thing is that it's an aorist. That is to say, it points to a decisive moment. It points to a crisis. It points to the making up of your mind. It points to the never again of an awakened soul, which was a definition George Duncan gave some of us earlier this year of repentance. The never again of an awakened soul. The never again of taking back that life for yourself that you present, that you let go. A personal transaction to be effected that nobody else can see through for you. Your minister can't. Your Christian helpers and workers can't. The president of your Christian union can't do this for you. He may pray for you. He may pray you will be a fully surrendered Christian. But he can't hand you over to the Lord Jesus. Only you can do that. Nobody else can get married for you. And nobody else can become a fully surrendered Christian for you. It is a personal, total committal that calls for decisive action on your part. Your emotions, your intelligence, your reason. Hand it over to him, not to be held in abeyance, but to be used as never before. The Christian is to outthink his contemporaries, not to say, well, you know, I've surrendered my understanding. There is a place for people who've surrendered their understanding and do nothing more about it. But it's not a university. All the capacity of your heart surrendered to him. Everything. Lock, stock, and barrel, his. How specific have you been in your surrender? What does full surrender mean? It means, first of all, I give thee, Lord Jesus, as much of myself as I know of myself, and the rest. For there are vast areas of my will, and of my understanding, and of my affections, of which I am unaware. But I bundle that all together, the unknown me, and together with the known me, I hand it all into nail-pierced hands, and I say, Lord, you've bought it, you've paid the price for it, you didn't just buy my pardon, you bought my person, it is all yours, please take it. I am thine by purchase, by conquest, and by self-surrender. I recognize that I am not my own, I am bought with a price, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, and do remember, it's not just Paul, it's the risen Lord speaking through his servant. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Wherefore give God the place of honor. To glorify is to give the place of honor. Give God the place of honor in your body and in your spirit, for they both belong to God. You're bought with a price. Hand yourself over to your rightful owner. Secondly, therefore, I give thee my body, and I yield all my bodily activities and all my desires, my eyes, my hands, my feet, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet walk in his ways. Let mine eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. I give thee my mind, my thoughts, my imagination. Far too many young Christians have an unsurrendered imagination. They think it's no business of the Lord's. It's very private. Why should they worry? Is your imagination surrendered? My memory. Far too many Christians haunt themselves with things that they won't forgive themselves for having done. They won't allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse their memory as well as their record before God. I give thee my heart's affection and my will. thirdly, and this is important because this is a wholesale transaction, I make a clear decision that I want to do from henceforth everything that you want me to do. I want to do from henceforth everything that you want me to do. I know I'm going to have to make decisions as I come up to the point, but that is what I want to do. I do not want to sin. I do not want to go my own way. I do want to live a holy life. Similarly, I declare myself willing here and now to lay off anything and everything that you show me in your life, in my life, you don't lack. I give up myself, and whatever I know, now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And then when I'm faced with a fresh decision, I refer back to that wholesale, total commitment of myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, well, now this that I'm up against now was covered by that that was settled at Keswick, or wherever it was settled, 1960. You're committing yourself in advance, and although the new decisions will have to be faced, they're already conditioned in advance by the wholesale decision that you made in determining that the Lord Jesus Christ should have absolutely everything. You reaffirm it. Now, where do we go next from here? Listen, this is important. When I commit myself, I believe that the Lord is listening, that he is hearing me. Secondly, I believe that his way is better than mine. And thirdly, I believe that he has the power to guide me and the power to keep me in his own way. And lastly, but by no means least, by the way, this isn't the end of the sermon, this is just the end of this series of points, I recognize that I must keep in close touch with him daily, or my surrender will be but a past evangelical memory, getting sadder and sadder as the years go by. Full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ is no substitute for a daily walk with him. It is but the doorway into a closer daily walk than I have ever known before. And unless it is daily affirmed, it is cancelled out. You can be surrendered today and living your own life tomorrow. Sad to say, you can't be justified today and unjustified tomorrow. You can't be regenerate today and unregenerate tomorrow. But you can be surrendered today and unsurrendered tomorrow. Walking with Jesus, day by day, taking him for my guide, holding his hands, I can never stray far from his wounded side. What I offer, God takes. What he takes, he cleanses. What he cleanses, as we'll be thinking tomorrow, he fills. And what he fills, as we'll be thinking on Friday in the afternoon, he uses. He uses. Now we may feel very weak and very helpless, like this poor chap. He was given to me for my birthday. He's wearing a Scripture Union badge here. That's a very wise thing to do, because wherever you go, if there is a Christian, they'll spot it and you'll have fellowship straight away. Well, there he is, bless him. And here he's got something for cleaning the car, and this is the apparatus for applying it, and this is the apparatus for rubbing it off, and this, I think, is for the windscreen. But see what he's got in his tummy. At your service. Somebody's trying to imitate the Scottish, which of course is impossible. Far too delightful for any Sassnick to attempt it. I am feeble and frail, so please take me and make me useful. That's all it said underneath there. At your service, I am feeble and frail, so please take me and make me useful. Well, there you are. If you presented the raw material to the Lord, I know there's a tremendous fallacy, isn't there? What do you think about this? No, you don't think a thing. Will you go my way? You haven't a clue. You can neither say yes nor no. You won't get in my way. It's up to me, isn't it? Entirely up to me. Yes, but my dear friend, it isn't entirely up to God with your surrender. Because unlike Juck here, you can say yea or nay. He has to do what's done to him. I put him at the back, if you like, and you can look at him more closely afterwards. And I hope that the person who's organizing the tape recording eliminates all the unnecessaries. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, there are various things that get in the way of our making this surrender. One of them is laziness. Why should I be an out-and-out Christian? It's going to be jolly hard work. I want to get away with the bare minimum of Christian experience. Another is self-sufficiency. Why do I need to be surrendered? I've been getting on pretty well so far. Why do I need to hand myself lock, stock and barrel to the Lord Jesus? Another is hostility to some of the consecrated Christians I know. I've got a down on them. Silly old frumps, what do they want to live like that for? I'm not going to be like that. I'm bothered if I'm going to be like so-and-so. Why should I be? And so I won't become a fully surrendered Christian. Others are suspicious of God. Supposing he takes an unfair advantage of me, if I let him have absolutely everything. I say, what a blasphemous thought. Nail it down and call it blasphemy. Don't entertain it. God loves you far more than you love yourself. He won't take an unfair advantage of you. Another is the fear of some secretly cherished hope being unfulfilled. Perhaps you're in love with a married person, and you know if you become an out-and-out Christian, you'll never get that other person. And so you hang fire, hoping, hoping. May God spare you from breaking up that home. There's enough misery in this world without you adding to it. Perhaps it's not something as foul and dastardly as that. Perhaps it's just an ambition that you're afraid will never be pulled off if you let the Lord have everything. Perhaps you're after a blue. That was the thing that worried me. I was afraid if I became an out-and-out Christian, that particular ambition would never be fulfilled. Perhaps you're afraid of living in the open, not being able to pay the price of real, frank fellowship with out-and-out Christians. Perhaps you're afraid of what your friends will say. Oh, there you go, carrying things to extremes. It was bad enough when you had this conversion business. But now this out-and-out Christianity, my goodness, what do you want to indulge in this for? Can't you be reasonable? Can't you hold things in balance? Can't you be like so-and-so? They're very respectable, they go to church, but they don't carry things to extremes like you do. Are you afraid of them saying that? Is there reluctance to fit into a mold? Don't worry. God won't put you into somebody else's mold. He's given you fingerprints that are utterly unique, otherwise they wouldn't use them as they do. And when he gave you those unique fingerprints, it was just a token that you are the only you that God has ever made quite like you. And you, in the hands of the Lord Jesus, will be the you that God wants you to be, but you won't be quite like somebody else. Don't try to be. Don't ape their accent, or their appearance, or even the dress they wear. Go as God would have you go, in the light of his word. Perhaps you're afraid you couldn't keep it up. Perhaps you're afraid it'll be too hard for you. He is able to keep you from falling, and to present you blameless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to hold you. Perhaps there's some strange tendency inside you, whereby you not only say, I'm too weak, but I must punish myself for some of the things I've done. I can't enter into this rest of faith. I can't enter into this life of full surrender. If you knew what I'd done, if you knew the way I'd let them down, if you knew the way I'd let that girl down, if you knew the way I'd let that fellow down. No, this life isn't for me. I can't enter into this. Can't you, my friend? When God forgives, he forgets. And God never holds against you the things that he's forgiven. And if he's forgiven you the thing that you feel is so shocking, you can come to him with an absolute assurance that he's forgiven you and cleansed you and will receive you and will bless you and will make you a blessing. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. Oh dear, if I become an out-and-out Christian, I don't want to go to the mission field, especially the Far East, and it may mean that. You'll be happier in the will of God in the Far East than you will out of the will of God at home. No life partner for me, it might mean that, yes it might. And as I said on Sunday night, you will be happier without a life partner than tied up to somebody who's always taking the mickey out of you because they know you should never have married them. from prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified, from all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this age. Don't let this world mold your way of thinking, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give me a torch, darling. And it vanished under the bedclothes. What's the matter? Well, Daddy, I thought you were going to take it from me. No, dear, I wasn't. I was going to put a new battery in. Here, it's in my pocket. Oh, there you are. She was afraid I was going to take it from her. I wasn't. I was going to give her something to make it shine more brightly. Are you afraid that if you let the Lord have everything, he'll take it from you? Ah, he'll give you back all that he wants, and all that is good for you, and all that he made you for. And you'll find he was better to you than all your hopes, and better than all your fears. He'll build a bridge of your broken works. He'll make a rainbow of your tears. The billows that have guarded your sea-girt, that have threatened your sea-girt coast, you'll find have only carried your Lord on the crest. And when you think of the way of the wilderness march he's seen you through so far, you'll be able to trust his love for the rest. The world has its own way of thinking, hasn't it? Self-expression, self-determination, self in the middle of things, and grab all you can and lay hold from every quarter. This age, get it for yourself and enjoy it while you can, for we may be all gone tomorrow. This age, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die. This age, be not conformed to this age. He was standing on the Tipperary railway station with his father, who was seeing him off to the mission field in Africa for the second time. And a great crowd of Irishmen were at the far end of the station round the boys who were going back to the front to fight in the First World War. And as the train moved out, these fellows shouted at the top of their voices after the Tommies who were going away in the receding train, "Give them hell!" The father, with a tear in his eye, heard this shout and just gripped his boy's hand as the train pulled out. And he just said, "Give them Christ, son. Give them Christ." I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And don't go on towing this world's line. Don't go on being conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove in your own personal experience just what is God's plan for you, that it's good, that it is acceptable, and that it is perfect. Samson, what's the matter with you? Awake yourself and shake yourself and do your stuff as of old. And he tried, but that woman Delilah had shorn his hair, and he was as any other man. And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Moses, how can you explain your face? Where have you been? Who have you been talking to? Why, what's the matter? Moses, cover your face. Why, what's the matter? Oh, Moses, your face is shining. And he wist not that the skin of his face was shining by reason of his speaking with him, and his speaking with him. Be not conformed to this age. He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And although your face won't always be shining, and you won't be able to get rid of all these things that will creep on you as they creep on anybody else, and Anno Domini will creep on as fast with you as with any worldling, yet eternal life will be flowing abundantly in your heart, and something of heaven's light will be seen more and more upon your face, and the beauty of holiness will be reflected as in the midst of a perishing world you give them Christ out of a Christ-filled heart. Let us pray.